am interviewing Victor Stevenson on the 2nd of April 2005. Okay, so what was your life like before the war?
Well, I worked for my dad on the ranch.
Okay, and where at?
Up there.
Up
in the Round Mountain.
Okay. What was your family's livelihood? What were they, was everybody a rancher then? Just kind of worked on the farm?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Were you working mostly then? You didn't enter into school at all. You just worked on the ranch?
Mm-hmm.
Great. And you guys did have cows, you said. Were you single or were you married at this
single.
Point? Okay. And did you have any children at this point?
Nope.
Okay. And before the war had started, did you have any political leanings? What was your interpretation of what was going on before Pearl Harbor?
Well, that's...
Was it much of a concern to you?
Yes, very much of a
okay.
concern.
And what was... How did you feel about things that were going on before the war?
Well, that was during the Depression, what they called the Depression years.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't help but have a lot of ideas, you know, that you wondered when it would be over, if ever, and how you were going to survive. And there were no jobs, and the prices that you, for things you produced, were just nothing at all. It was hard to make a living.
Mm-hmm. And what were some of the ideas that you had towards the president's decisions at that time in the government with the Depression?
Well, at that time, the Japanese were buying all of our scrap steel.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody that couldn't see what was happening was pretty stupid now, because they knew that there was going to be war.
Mm-hmm.
But they still kept selling all that stuff. War material is what it was.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. What was your family kind of went along the same lines, had the same interpretation of the government and knew what was going on and had very strong opinions as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What was your greatest daily concern at the time? Being a rancher during the Depression, what was your greatest concerns and this pre-war idea?
Well, you just wondered, you know, if we could hang on to the ranch. The prices of produce were so little, and you had to pay taxes. Sometimes it was, well, my dad lost the ranch twice during the Depression.
Wow. Wow. So it was just a concern to keep your heads above water.
It was.
Definitely. What was your family's perception regarding the military? Had you had your father, was he in the military at all?
Mm-mm.
And what was their idea and their interpretation of the military at that time?
Well, we were so isolated that we never saw any military at all where we were, you know, and all you knew was what you read or heard on radio about what was going on in the country. But the military has always been especially the boys in those years, you know, it was a lot of the boys joined the military because that was the only way they could make a living.
And make a change. I see. And was there anyone in your community or in your family that had been a veteran to World War I?
No.
No, not that you knew of? Okay. So your perceptions at this time, being a young boy on the ranch, of the military, what was your whole perception of it? How did you feel towards the military? Was it something that you were interested in?
No. I see that that's when the draft started.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that after we signed up for the draft, I thought that you were mandatory 1 year military training,
mm-hmm.
you see. And I thought that I would just get the military training over, and so I volunteered for the draft.
For the draft.
Yes.
And when you, with your perceptions, and even with the Depression and as hard as it was on being a rancher at that time, you didn't ever think about joining the military to make a better living?
No,
you just wanted
did.
To stay on the ranch?
Mm-hmm.
I see. Okay. what were your opinions regarding Germany and Japan before the war? You said something about the scrap metal. And
well, we knew that the war in Europe was going on all those years, and we knew that sooner or later we were going to be involved in it. We weren't going to let the Germans, you know, take over the whole world. We had to get involved.
Mm-hmm. And what was your perception towards the German economy and the Japanese and all of that, what they were doing? Did you have some strong leanings towards either, or what, how you felt about them at this point before joining?
Well, just that we knew they were enemies.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know anything about their economy or mm-hmm. anything else.
Okay. What were your opinions regarding U.S. actions prior to the war?
Well, there was a lot of racket about that. But I knew that sooner or later we were going to be involved, so you might just well face the facts that whatever happened, you were going to be part of it.
Mm-hmm. And did you support some of the actions that the United States was taking before actually entering the war, before Pearl Harbor?
Well, I didn't approve of their military intelligence because they claimed that the intelligence service should know what's going on. Well, they either didn't or weren't interested, because they could certainly see that there was going to be a problem there with the Japs.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel about isolationism at that time?
No, I didn't.
Didn't have any regards towards it? Okay. And where did you get most of your information?
Radio or newspaper.
Okay. Alrighty. And when you got this information and stuff, did it really conflict what you were doing in a day's work? Did it interfere with that at all, knowing that this was going on?
No.
Just kind of kept on doing what you were doing?
Mm-hmm.
I see. Did your heritage or ethnicity affect your perceptions of the combatants?
No.
Okay. What were you doing and where were you at when Pearl Harbor was attacked?
I was on Angel Island in the harbor down there at San Francisco.
Oh, okay. And this was when you were doing your volunteer military training? Okay. And how did you hear about it?
On the radio?
Right when it was happening?
Well, it was only, I suppose, a couple hours after. I don't know whether it was actually going on right at that time. I don't remember.
What was your first feeling?
Well,
when you did?
It was something I knew was going to happen, so I wasn't a bit surprised, but it was surprising that it was so easy for them to do it. You know, they had no opposition.
Did you feel fear at all when you knew that they had attacked it?
No. I'm one of them kind of guys that just, wherever the cards fall is the way it is. I don't fear or I don't hope or, you know, whatever happens is going to happen.
Okay. And knew it was going to happen, and when it did, it was expected and you knew it was mm-hmm. coming. Okay. What was your family's response to this? And I guess prior to that, when you volunteered to do your military training, prior to your military training and volunteering to do that, what was your family's response to that?
Well, they were in agreement with what I was doing.
And total support?
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you have brothers and sisters mm-hmm. at the time that were also?
Three brothers.
And how old were they? Are they older?
I had two older and one younger.
Okay, and had they volunteered to do their
military?
They didn't. Okay. They didn't. So you had volunteered to do this and your family was in support.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What was your family's response when Pearl Harbor had been attacked? Did you get to communicate with them?
Well, things were so confused then that it was weeks before we got any mail or was able to send any. That's the only way we had of communicating was by mail.
Okay. And did you receive something a couple weeks later from your parents?
Well, yes.
What were their main concerns?
Well, their main concern was for us, you know, what was going to happen. See, my brother was in the same, he was with me in the...
And this was your younger?
In this infantry outfit.
Okay.
And we were both down there. We were, on December the 7th, we were going to load out to go to the Philippines. We took our training in at Fort Lewis, Washington. And I went to San Francisco by convoy, by military, what do you call it?
Travel.
Yes. Okay. And the troops were coming down on the train, and we were going to load out that night to go to the Philippines. Well, when we heard all the bombing at Pearl Harbor, of course, we couldn't go because things were confused. Everything was just a mess, you know. Nobody knew what they were going to do until...
Kind of unexpected or unknown. And this was your younger brother that was with you?
No, the one older than...
One older. Yeah. Okay, and then the two older, or the one old, other older and the younger didn't join at all, right? Okay. So you and your brother joined at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow. And so what was the community response before... Well, I guess you said through your letters and stuff, it took a while to get there. What about the community in San Francisco? What was that response? Or were you exposed to much of that?
No, we were.
Okay, so you enlisted into the military. Why did you enlist, and what were your expectations when you did?
Just to get that year training over.
Okay.
Rather than wait for the draft being... unsure of what to do, I thought I'd just volunteer and get the year training over with.
But you didn't expect to be more than a year
at
long,
that
right?
time. It was just 1 year, you see, but then during the along in July or August of that year, there was a 1 year of duration, whichever.
Yeah, I see. And so did your family and friends enlisting influence your decision? Was there anyone around you that were enlisting at the same time as you in the community other than your brother? And
Yes, there were. I think there were 16 of us left Roundup at the same time, but only two or three enlistees, the rest of them were drafted.
Okay. Now, did they influence you? The talk about maybe possibly volunteering to get that military training out of the way, did that influence you, or were you pretty much set in your ways that...
No, I wanted to get it over with.
Yeah, get home, huh?
Mm-hmm.
let's see here. When, after Pearl Harbor, what were your expectations? On base, after you knew that you weren't going to the Philippines and this had happened, you know, there's all this commotion and everything's crazy. What are your expectations at this point? How do you feel about what's next?
You just waited to see.
You just kind of hurry up and wait?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what were your feelings during that time?
Well, I don't remember it. Another thing, you just, whatever happens is going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't know where we would go from Oahu. We knew we wouldn't be there very long. But when you're in the military, you have to wait for orders. And if the order don't come, you still don't know what's going to happen.
So you were sent then from San Francisco up to Hawaii? Okay. So directly from shortly after Pearl Harbor?
Right after.
Right after. Okay. And at this time, while you're in the military, you said that you didn't have much community involvement. You didn't know what was going on with the public. What, how were you informed of military decisions then? I mean, did you know what was going on outside of your orders?
No.
Just kind of kept you straight line with what you needed to do to get your job done.
You just waited till somebody come along and told you what to do.
What about the world affairs? What was going on in the rest of the world?
Well, we were quite interested in the war in Europe. You know, we always tried to keep up on that, know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because we didn't want them Germans to come over here someday and start telling us what to do.
And while you were on base after Pearl Harbor and stuff, and once you went to Oahu, how were you informed of what was going on still around the world?
Well, the Army had some kind of I don't know where they got this stuff, but they post on the bulletin board, they post what, you know, the position of the outfits in Germany and how they were progressing, whether we were gaining or being forced out. We had troops all over Europe then, and in North Africa and Italy, and, you know, that. I don't know where that information came from, but every day there'd be on the bulletin board, if you were lucky enough to see it, you would see what the troops were doing other places.
Wow. What was that like to have to look at world affairs and what's going on with the military that you're involved in, to have to go to a bulletin board to see the movement instead of, did you hear it on the radio at all, or did your...
Well, radios... We didn't have
radio in the...
Just once in a while, somebody would come up with some kind of old beat-up radio that you could listen to, but it was not very often.
Okay. So you kind of were sheltered to what was going on other mm-hmm. than the mm-hmm. bulletin board. Okay. How did you feel about being, at this point, now that you're in Oahu after Pearl Harbor, how did you feel about being away from home?
By that time, I was over my homesickness.
When did you have your initial homesickness? Had you been in Montana most of your life? And you hadn't traveled out? So what was that like?
It was terrible.
Was it?
It was the most terrible thing, that homesickness.
What's the most terrible thing about it? Just the comforts of home and the familiarity?
Well, this is so different. Mm-hmm. You know, I still get homesick when I get away from home.
Do you?
Yes. If I go someplace for a day or so, I'm so homesick that it's just terrible.
Yeah, it is different being away from home. Just the comforts of home are nice, mm-hmm. definitely. So what do you remember most about your basic training? You did it in San Francisco, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you remember the most about your basic training?
Well, it was... You tried to learn all that you could, you know, from military
perspective and life.
Yes.
What sort of things did you encounter? What sort of things were they training you in that year to prepare you for war?
Well, we trained in radio and intelligence, how to read maps and make maps and stringing wire, just anything that, well, just so long ago, I've forgotten a lot of that.
A lot of that? Huh. What did you like the most about your basic training?
Well, I don't think I liked anything about it.
Didn't like anything? Was it physically, because ranching is not an easy job, and it's physically demanding, was this more physically demanding than that?
No, only when we go on those forced marches, some of them were pretty rugged. And when you walk 30 miles overnight, that's quite a...
And this was in training?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So what did you like the very least about your basic training? Everything?
Everything, I guess.
Just about everything?
It was... I never did get, so I liked the Army.
It was just something you were there to do, and
it was just something you had to do and make the best of it.
Okay. What did you do for recreation? Did you have much time for recreation and fun, or was it strictly the training? And how long were you in your basic training before Pearl Harbor hit?
Well, see, the basic training, that was, I think, lasted 3 months. And then after your basic training, you were a soldier. Then you were considered a soldier. Mm-hmm. You had all your training. You were ready to go to war.
Mm-hmm. And that point you were stationed.
We went from Fort Lewis down to Hunter Liggett Military Reservation there in California one summer, or that summer for maneuvers. And then we were always, when we went back to Washington, we were always maneuvering around the camp. And it was harassment more than anything else.
Is there anything about that after you got the training out of the way and that initial homesickness that you really enjoyed about being a soldier?
Well, I don't know how you'd call it enjoy, but you know, you were a soldier and you were bound to do the best you can. I don't think about such things very often anymore.
And what was it like during training when you got to meet people from all over the country?
I enjoyed that. Wonderful people.
Wonderful. That's awesome. And what about different ethnicities? So say there was people from different backgrounds. Was that an experience? Was it a difficult experience?
No, it was. Sometimes they'd poke fun at somebody, but it was just in fun. There was never any problems at all.
So it never created a ton of tension that broke away from the teamwork. How do you feel that the basic training prepared you the most and had the biggest impact on combat when you actually went to war? Was basic training, was it efficient? Did you utilize a lot of the tools that they gave you?
Well, whether you utilize them or not later on, it prepares you for and change your attitude. You see, you know you're going to do this, so you might just well start thinking about it because you know what's going to happen and you're prepared by taking your basic training.
Mm-hmm. And do you think more so than the physical training and the aspects of that, it's more of a mental thing that you go through personally to prepare yourself for what's next to come and your expectations?
Your mental attitude's got a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm. What was your mental attitude most of the time?
Well, there we go again. It's just whatever happens.
Get through it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And how well do you feel that you were physically prepared?
Well, I was physically prepared.
Were you? Mm-hmm. Especially being a rancher, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What were your expectations as you prepared to leave your basic training, become a soldier, and then after Pearl Harbor, what were some of your expectations of being a soldier in the middle of the conflict?
Well, it's, you don't know until it happens. You see, you're ready when you know that you're going into combat, you're just ready for everything that happens. You don't have a choice.
Yeah, let it come to you, huh? Deal with it as it comes. Where were you when you heard the news that the war? we'll go to some of your questions or some of the things that we'd added on the background questions during the war. Do add in and anything else and some stories if you could just add in. Definitely, that would be wonderful. What was the unit or ship that you were on? And it was the... What was your unit once you were sent off?
Well, it was the 25th Infantry Division, okay. The 161st Infantry.
Okay.
I was in that outfit all the time I was overseas.
And how many men were included in that outfit?
Oh, thousands in the division.
Okay.
I think there were, when we were up to strength, I think there were 44 men in our platoon.
And you had stated that your unit took absolutely no prisoners and that you were taught to shoot on sight. How did they prepare you for that?
You don't prepare. You're always prepared.
Told to do that. What did you feel about that when they first told you that, you know, we're not taking any prisoners, you're going to shoot first in sight?
You don't have any feelings. It's just a, you just take that like they tell you to do anything else.
And you didn't have any fear or any...
Oh, yes. You always had fear.
But towards the idea that you were actually in combat, that you weren't holding any prisoners, and that it was just shoot and move on. Was that...
Well, I didn't approve of it, but it was still...
In order.
The way it was being done.
Alrighty. How close were you to the men in your immediate unit? You said that there was thousands, but I'm sure that there was a group. Did you get the closest to them on the way over?
Well, our platoon was always together.
Okay, and how many men were in your platoon?
I think there were 44 men in it, but it was full strength.
Okay. And were you pretty close to each and every one of them?
Oh, just like brothers.
Just like brothers.
You depended on the other guy, and he depended on you.
Great. And what was your attitude when you started into combat? What was your attitude towards them? Was it fear of, I mean... Death in itself is a hard thing. Fear of losing one of them.
Mm-hmm. You always thought of that.
Yeah.
You always wondered where the guy was that was on either side of you or with you.
Wow. And what are some of your fondest memories of your platoon?
Oh, just the way we got along, the way we felt about one another, you know, and the... Everybody was for everybody. There were no, how should I say it? Everyone had feelings for the people they were with.
Mm-hmm. And was that established, like, initially right after, I mean, right away?
Mm-hmm.
You felt that for each
mm-hmm.
other and just really
yes.
had that family bond mm-hmm. going into war? Great. And what theaters did you serve in? And when?
In the Pacific.
The South Pacific, the Guadalcanal?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what was your... Briefly describe your service, if you could. I mean, what was your title and rank? You'd stated that.
Well, we weren't a line company. See, we were a headquarters company. The outfit, my platoon.
Mm-hmm.
And we furnished all the communication and the maps, and we had machinery, dozers and cats, you know, and things like that. And we were, unless there was a great problem, we were never called up onto the line, you know, to really face the enemy. We were just taking care of the rest of the outfit. We were called out a lot of time because, you know, we didn't have, the troops weren't great enough to handle it. We had to go just like the line companies, but that wasn't our initial. We were a service they run the power lines or the telephone lines, and if there was any road building or bridge building or anything like that, we try to take care of that.
I see. And where did you fight in combat?
Well, the first place was on Guadalcanal, but I don't remember the names of those other. Guadalcanal and New Georgia are the only names I can remember, but there were, I don't know whether those other islands even had a name.
Just several that you were at in combat. What was your worst experience while fighting?
Well, some of the worst experiences I ever had was the officers got us into the mess. You know, they didn't they didn't know what they were doing, and they just sent us where we shouldn't have been at all.
Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that you'd stated to ask for an example about the officers, you know, and the foxhole and stockade was a couple things that you had mentioned. Any more that you wanted to add about the officers you felt How did you feel about the leadership?
Well, I wasn't very pleased with it.
And is there anything that you could have said, or, I mean, to change as an opinion, you know, to form a better opinion to help avoid being put in those situations?
Well, you didn't make those decisions. They were made for you.
Mm-hmm. And did you know when those decisions were made and you were given orders that you were walking into a trap?
Yeah, sometimes I suspicioned it, but you still
didn't have a question. I see. How were the troops treated?
Well, sometimes weren't treated very well. The enlisted men weren't.
Mm-hmm. Why so?
Well, I don't know. It seemed like we got a lot of them, they called them 90-day wonders. They went to school for 90 days and they were commissioned a second lieutenant. And we'd get them as our platoon officers, leaders. And they didn't know shit about anything. And they treated the men like they're, you know, barely human. And when they got that commission, their head got so big they couldn't get their hat on. And they just thought they were much better than the rest of us. And they never listened to anything that anybody else had to say. That was one of the biggest problems we had with those officers.
Is there any specific examples of a time that you were mistreated by it? You know, one of the leaders, or?
Well, I never served under but one or two officers that didn't threaten to break me. Hmm. They never did, but they always threatened to. I didn't get along with them because a lot of times I knew they were wrong and I didn't give in to them.
Okay. You had also mentioned that you were front troops into the combat against the Japanese. And you said the first day, can you talk about the first day off of the beach on Guadalcanal?
Mm-hmm.
And you followed the bulldozed trail?
Mm-hmm.
What was that like? What was some of that experience like?
You just wondered how long before you were on the pile with them other dead men.
Was that what it was, just masses of piled bodies? And
mm-hmm.
And what were you guys supposed to do? You said every time you could stop or you got a break to hold a line. What were you guys told to do?
Well, shoot anybody come along.
Shoot anybody come along?
I never saw a live enemy in all the time I've been down there. They were all dead when I saw them because they were hidden in the... They were either in some kind of a pillbox. You couldn't see in, or they were in the jungle. The jungle was so thick you couldn't walk through it. And they were in there, and they had a field of fire that they could see you, but you couldn't see them until they started to shoot.
And then you were told to dig foxholes whenever you had a moment to stop or to hold a blind?
You started digging just as soon as you stopped.
And how long of intervals did you... I mean, was it day and night and day and night that you... were told to do this?
Sometimes it would be, well, we went, I think 3 days was the longest we ever went without food.
Uh-huh. And what was that experience like?
Not very good.
You start questioning why you're there and if it's worth it?
Mm-hmm.
What was the lowest point for you at that, during the whole combat?
Well, I don't think there was any low point. I always looked ahead to see and hoped that it was going to...
get better?
Mm-hmm.
After going into combat, you said you'd form this family bond. Did it get a lot stronger after fighting with these men?
Oh, yes.
Night and day, mm-hmm. day and night? Out of the 44 that were in your platoon, how many?
Well, it was pretty hard on them. I don't remember how. We lost a lot of men.
How were you told to deal with that emotion? To carry on? How does the leadership with that? I mean, do they just tell you to push on and leave it behind? And
oh, yes.
What kind of personal emotions do you go through to be able to move on?
Well, it's kind of hard to explain. I don't have the words to explain it myself because I don't know, but it sometimes when one of your real good buddies got killed, you just didn't know what to do, you know, whether you had to go on, but you wondered if you could. You wondered how long it would be before you were the next one.
What are some of your favorite and fondest memories of the entire experience?
Well, they're all fond memories.
What are some of your favorites?
I guess when they come home on furlough.
And what about during the time, I mean, how did you guys make it if you had a time to just sit and talk and depend on each other to just get you through? And do you have any fond memories of those or a good experience or example of that?
Oh, it's just that you knew it was going to end and you just hoped you were alive when it ended.
And what about your brother? Was he part of your...
No, he was in a different platoon.
Okay.
Different. He was in the 3rd Battalion, I was in the 2nd Battalion. When we were there on Oahu, I used to see him quite often. But after we got down in the jungles,
didn't see him at all.
I hardly ever saw him.
Was he? But you had brothers with you, right?
Mm-hmm. Other than...
And what medals did you receive during the war?
I didn't receive any. I wasn't.
What about the combat infantry?
Well, that went with it. I don't know whether that was... I don't think that was called a medal. It was just anybody that was in the infantry that was in combat got that. I guess they called it a medal. I don't know.
Okay.
I never was interested in much medals.
And what about the Bronze Star?
Well, I never got one.
You should have one, though? For what?
Well, that gal, she's trying to get me one, the one that came down here. See, anybody that got the Combat Infantry badge, you're supposed to get the Bronze Star, too. Well, I never got one, and I couldn't need it, so I didn't need it.
Yeah. So you anticipate the war ending, you just carry on, and how did you get word that the war had ended?
Well, I was over here in the United States when the war ended.
When the war ended.
Mm-hmm.
So when did you find out that you would be coming home?
From overseas?
Mm-hmm. When did you find out that you were going to be coming home?
There's that ugly woman. They had a... After so many months overseas, you got so many points for each month. And when your points totaled, I don't remember what, then there was a drawing to see who would... They put all these points in a hat and they picked out a name.
And you were chosen.
And there was, in this regiment I was in, there was 80 men with the same rank I was, and they drew one, and it was me.
What was that feeling?
Well, it was kind of mixed. You hated to leave the outfit. You just hated it like the dickens. Almost turned it down. But the rest of them got after me and said, you may never get another chance, you better grab it. But you just can't walk away and leave guys like that.
And how long after you found out that you would be going home did you actually get to leave?
Oh, it was about a week, I think.
I see. And how long did it take to get home?
It didn't take very long. We just got on a boat and they just headed north.
Did you have some mixed emotions on the boat trip home?
Oh, yes.
Away from, yes. Again, going
mm-hmm.
and leaving.
And you thought about them guys that you're leaving down there, too. You know, you thought about them all the time.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you, where did you, once you left and you came to the United States, where did you land? Where did your boat port at?
Where did I what?
Where was the first place that you came in the United States after you got off the boat?
San Francisco.
And then did you get to go directly home from there?
No. I went up to Fort Lewis, Washington. And they deloused us and whatever else they did up there. I was there a couple of days before they went home.
Okay. And what was that experience like?
Well, you just wanted to get over and get home.
Yeah. And what else? What were your... Going home, did you have some expectations about seeing your family and being in the community? And
well, you were anxious to see your family.
And did they know that you were coming home?
No.
No?
Didn't have any way to let them know.
So you were coming home. Did you keep in contact with some of the men that you left after?
Well, I'm ashamed of myself there. I didn't as well as I should have.
But some of them?
Well, there were quite a bunch of them came to see me.
But,
I'm a very poor letter writer.
That's right. What was the first thing you did? How did you get home from Fort Lewis to Roundup?
I came on the Greyhound bus.
Did you?
To Billings. And then the hitchhike from Billings home.
And what was the first thing you did when you got home?
Well, the first thing, my dad was out on the road. These people that took me home, we had quite a homecoming affair, and then we went down where Mom was.
So your dad did he know you hitchhiked with these folks and then met him up on the road?
He didn't know that I was coming.
Oh, wow.
They knew there was something happening because some of my mail had came back, but they didn't know whether I'd been killed or
what was going on.
What was the cause of it.
Right. How did the people react to your returning home? First of all, how were your parents when you returned home?
Well, I guess they're glad to see me.
Overcome?
They acted like you were.
They might have been faking it.
No, probably were.
Oh, yeah. And what about the community? What was their reaction?
I never saw any community. I just stayed home.
Just stayed home? And there was no... Was your brother at home when you got there?
No. He was down in the Philippines.
Okay. And how long before he actually came home from your return?
He never got home till after the...
After the war ended, huh? So were you in Montana when the war ended?
Mm-hmm.
When you got word of it? What was that feeling?
I was at Fort Missoula.
Okay. And what was... Did you anticipated the war ending, but what was it... What was the emotion that you felt when you actually knew that the war was over?
Oh, you were just glad that it was over.
Glad to hear it. Alrighty. What struck you the most about returning home and the reaction and carrying on with, like in your case, ranching, but having that behind you? Did it change you?
Mm-hmm.
And how did you carry on? What struck you the most about that?
Well, you didn't know what to do. You know, you couldn't just forget 4.5 years. And if somebody had to come along and wanted to join up and go the limit, I'd have gone with them. I'd have re-enlisted them and gone back for the...
Why so?
Oh, because it's just something that... Well, it was part of your life. It's 4.5 years. You can't just throw it aside and forget about it.
And you would have rather have went back till the war was ended?
Well, I didn't want to go back, but I would have if had any of them guys come along and want me to go with them.
And would you have encouraged it, and even still to this day encouraged enlisting in the armed forces, being now that we're at war? Okay. How was civilian life at this point different from your military life?
A lot of differences.
But just from 4 years of carrying on the way that you did as a soldier and coming home and carrying on as a civilian.
Well, it was just a letdown. You know, you're all, when you're in the Army, you expect anything to happen. But after you get out, well, you kind of control these things yourself.
Mm-hmm. I see. Which did you prefer?
Well, I prefer the...
controlling the way.
Yes.
Definitely. What was the easiest adjustment about coming home? Was it the comforts of home?
Well, I always wanted a homebody.
Mm-hmm. And was it hard for you to adjust?
No, it wasn't hard.
Just kind of came on. Was it hard to just reintegrate back into farming and carrying on and adjusting back to that life after?
Well, you don't know what to do was the trouble, you know. Everything changed by that time, and you're just kind of at loose ends.
Mm-hmm. And trying to fill in where you can, because they've done without you. I see on the ranch. Let's see. What benefits did you receive from the services, and how did you use them?
Didn't receive any.
Didn't receive a GI or GI bill or anything? Was it nothing? Okay. What about the war made the biggest impact on you?
What about what?
What about the war made the biggest impact on you? Something that you've carried with you?
No, just none at all.
None at all, other than, I guess, the relationship away from home, and I mean, because you spoke to that relationship that you formed with your platoon and how close you were. Was there a certain impact that something that taught you a lot about life in general that you still use for today?
Oh, yes, it had to.
Mm-hmm. What sort of things, or can you give an example of that?
Well, you're more considerate of other people than people that never went in the military.
Mm-hmm. About just not taking things for granted?
Yes, also? And then the way you treat other people. Come over here. And sit
well, there. I didn't want to interrupt. I don't know where you'll be sitting here or over there. Again, what was your...
You're fine. You can sit. Right, we're just about done.
Okay.
How would you sum up your time in the service? In a few words, how would you describe your service?
Well, if I was going to describe it, I'd say it was a waste of time.
Really? But you, if you had it to do all over again, knowing what you know now, would you have still enlisted?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'd make a better soldier now than I did then.
Alrighty. And did you encourage your other brothers that didn't enlist at all to enlist afterwards? No? But you would have re-enlisted, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How do you feel about the interpretation of World War II now and Hollywood's portrayal of World War II?